All right. Hello, Tyler Bryden here. Today, I want to talk about something very near and dear to my heart, which is how to compete with venture-backed companies. And this is something, as someone who has basically bootstrapped this company, Speak AI, to date, operating in the software space, speech recognition, natural language processing, machine learning, AI. When you enter spaces like that, you start to play with some behemoths. And behemoths is not necessarily always the best word, because some of these companies are startups, but they're startups with deep connections or relationships, or the ability to raise capital at an extremely high rate and then grow at at an even quicker rate, as well as the other dynamics where you're competing with the real behemoths, the Amazons, the Googles, the people who specifically in our space that we're operating in want this data to train their models, are using it to grow and have a lot of access, resources, and the ability to make strategic market decisions that realistically, as a bootstrap company, you don't have the opportunity to make. And I would be saying, as a disclaimer, we have received term sheets from venture capitalists. We have, gone out and looked at raising in the past. Like, there have been multiple instances where we've tried to look at becoming a venture-backed company because of the dynamics of the space that we're in. But at least to date, we've continued on our journey of self-funding the organization through revenue, and then through some of the wonderful systems that we have in Canada, NRCI Wrap, Shred, et cetera, et cetera. So what I wanted to talk about was, if you are in the situation, maybe a situation like me, and I know that there are many people who are, and also notice that in the people who are viewing the content, a lot of the content, especially on LinkedIn, is that they are founders. So I feel you. And this is something that is a source of some fun, but also pain, and very intense. So I wanted to share a couple ways that we've looked at this, primarily through the marketing lens. I know there are other levels of competition, like you said, capital, like recruiting, et cetera, et cetera. One note that sort of came out from this, this Ryan Breslow sort of tweet storm about the mafia of YC. I think one thing we've noticed is that there are a lot of companies, a lot of VCs who have invested in portfolio companies who touch into the space of transcription and natural language processing. Once they make those investments, they cannot sort of invest in you in the same way. And so there's also seen some sort of competition and access to capital. I'm not going to get into that too much today. I'm looking, again, primarily at the marketing perspective. So one of the first things I wanted to touch on was this idea, is something that's been very successful for us, which has been building alternative pages. And right from the gate, there's sort of two things that I think are valuable here. You build a dedicated alternatives page, and then you build a hub around that that then compares yourself to individual competitors in quotation marks, companies that you want to position yourself against, so that when people are looking them up and maybe they're even looking for an alternative, you then rank and appear in those. So we've done a ton of different versions of this. You can see on the top here in the little metadata up top, Best Rev, Monkey Learn, and Otter AI. Some of this I would say is relatively legacy, but it's continued to work for us and drive not just traffic, not just impressions and search engines, actual paying customers, some of them large annual contracts. And none of that would have been done if we hadn't built these alternative pages. So I think a lot of people get sort of scared around this idea of, like, maybe I don't want my competitor to know about me. Maybe I don't feel that our technology is up to chops. Like, maybe that the companies are underpricing their product so that they can eat up market share. And in this case, an example, we'll just use Otter. I think raised already $50 million, a bunch of ex-Googlers executing on this space. They basically looked at the standard of the market for how much transcription cost, and then went and undercut it by like 95%. So say the average was, say, 10 cents per minute. They're like, no, let's give our transcription out for 0.0001. And now anyone who then uses our company, it's gonna be very hard to switch off of it, because otherwise the cost is gonna be prohibitive. And now we've built this sort of addiction to cheap transcription, and they were able to do that because they had very talented engineers building a speech recognition from scratch to optimize it specifically for low cost, plus millions and millions of dollars that afforded them the opportunity to do that. So those are sort of the strategies that you might be against when you are dealing with venture backed companies, and then you need to figure out ways to navigate through that. And some of those things can be easy, some of those things can be hard. So we have built this, you know, sort of hub, continue to add to it based on the kind of companies that we see adding some sort of feature sets that are similar to us, as well as companies where we have talked to customers and they said, hey, we were using this and actually we want to switch to you, or at very least we're evaluating you. So what becomes very valuable in this regards too is they say, hey, what's the difference between you and X? You can then just share this dedicated page with them, and then they can do the comparison on their own. And if it makes sense, they can convert. And I will say, you know, we've done a couple, you know, here, never talk poorly about the alternatives that you have. So I think that's a very key part of this. We've really done our best to do some comparisons. And this one's actually a little bit different from what we've done. We've sort of gotten almost into like a blog post that's highly SEO optimized with internal links and driven for sort of conversions and understanding of the platform. And then you can see it even goes down into some, you know, some quotes and then how to get started. So we've seen these pages already convert, already rank. Anytime someone say, for example, this Happy Scribe page is new, but alternative to Rev, alternative to Otter, that starts to appear very quickly. And I believe the Otter one that we have, for example, has a nice little table where you actually see check marks on that. And so what we do, push out these pages, we see them start to rank. And if we start to see traffic from them, we improve those pages. And some of these pages are converting at more than 20% plus. And that's a very powerful thing because you are then high intent users who are coming to you looking to sign up, who have familiarity with the product because of the other systems that they've used, and then are coming. So the one caveat I will say to this, if you position yourself against an alternative where there are some of these sort of strategies, like for example, Otter, because transcription is so low, their cost is so low, people then sort of gasp sometimes when they see our per minute cost. And so then you need to figure out other ways to differentiate. And so that is another key to winning in this space or competing against venture-backed companies, is that you need to pick the right alternatives, and then you need to have differentiators if they're beating you, for example, on price point, and that's their sort of strategy. The other thing, I'll just give an example, Descript, amazing company. We have an alternatives page from them from early because they do sort of transcription. And when you have a transcription in your product, you just sort of get bundled into all this. And people will come to us and they say, Descript has this amazing voice cloner sort of text-to-speech system. That's not in our system, but we get people come into Descript alternatives page, then sign up for Speak. And then they'll send us a message on live chat and they'll say, hey, can we do this voice cloning? And we're like, no. And because of that, we have now, you know, our positioning against them as an alternative might not be perfectly correct, might be something for us to revisit, even though there's some core functions that they we are sort of aligned on or competing on, kind of thing. So the part that I alluded to before is that you do need to touch on differentiators in the system that allow you to excel beyond your competitors. And one of them I'll just share for us, just again, this is all personal experience. You know, these companies in many ways, because of the venture capital, because of the teams, they're dominating us in many regards. So I'm not going to stand here and say this is an easy battle, that this is the most fun I've ever had, but there are pockets that we've been able to see success. And so one of the other systems that we had is this embeddable audio and video recorder. And what we found is there's great, you can go into Rev and a couple of these companies and you can say, hey, you know, I want to upload my media. But what we found was that people were trying to structure data capture automatically from recordings that were sort of asynchronous recordings from all over the world. And so an example is they want to capture customer feedback, and Otter would be a great tool for transcription, but it's hard to get all those things grouped in and then dump into the system. And so what we built is this embeddable recorder, which is a little iframe code or a dedicated page that you can create automatically, then allows you to record the audio. It's not going to let me do this because of it. And then, you know, you can even ask, say, hey, you know, name, email, blah, blah, blah. You record and submit. Then that enables the rest of the transcription, the analysis pipeline. That, even though it might seem small, is a huge differentiator between the other companies that don't have this system. And that little widget alone has driven tons of signups, has allowed us to rank in many spaces organically online, and then have this differentiator that customers are subscribing because it's an important part of their stack to empower everything else. So huge, you know, wins can come from small functions or workflow enablement that you might not even think of that significant, but are significant for the end users that you are. So talk to them about the challenges they're having with those systems, and you can find some opportunities to win. And along that lines, one of the things we found has been using Intercom live chat and just giving better customer support, over delivering on that, having real conversations with these customers, where these other companies start to mature a little bit or deprioritize these customers, they start to reveal very crucial, valuable insights into what can be done better, what could be improved from the systems that they're looking at, that they're sort of churning from and then looking for a new solution. And that could be as simple as they don't play nice with integrations. So we've worked hard to build Zapier integrations and things like that. They don't allow us to customize X. We've enabled customization. We've enabled white labeling. There are so many ways that you can find gaps, even in what seems to be a highly competitive, venture-backed, saturated market, that you can over-deliver on and then find ways to differentiate and then succeed. So that's another piece that we've got. I would say you get this advice of do the things that don't scale, get on a call and talk to them. In some cases that can be beneficial. Other cases I actually don't recommend that. I recommend using live chat, using email, using other ways to try to gather those insights still in a scalable way, because the reason why these companies are venture backed, the reason why they've been so successful, is they've been able to figure out and solve these problems at scale. And if you don't, you will end up being maybe a great company, but a much smaller company who will continue to lose market share generally. I will say the other piece that we've seen, flexible pricing. I've talked about this quite a few times now, so apologize if I'm repeating myself, but we've really worked hard to allow people to customize their pricing. You can see that when you actually log into the platform, and I will log into the platform. I know I've only got a couple minutes left here, just so that you can see how far we've took this, because we found that it made a difference. Instead of having these blocked times, I can go and say how many hours I want. I want 10, I want 3, you know, I only want 3 team members. I don't need to batch a bunch of team members in. And I don't need the white label solution. I don't need the shareable media library, but I want the other pieces here. My plan's there. Oh, interesting, it's only $185 per month, and I actually want to do it for 6 months. I don't need to do it the whole year. So that flexibility allows you to also differentiate and then sort of deliver value in a way that's not always given by other companies. The niche idea is really important. If you can niche down, that's a valuable thing to do. When we haven't necessarily niched down, we're still a very horizontal company, but we've niched down in features, including some of the analysis and some of the things that we've done there. And that's been a huge driver of the success that we've had. Lastly, I've only got a little bit of time here left, but you can also use, and I'm picking on Rev, use a tool like SEMrush to find opportunities for keywords, search terms, pages that you can build that are maybe, you know, giving them traffic, giving them volume, that are trending up, but then the keyword difficulty isn't high. So you can see like Rev is dominating in many regards to the keyword difficulty, but then there are opportunities where it's very low and maybe you can there's enough volume for it to be worthwhile for you to then drive and succeed on. And so some of these examples, probably not the best ones, but there are many examples that you can find, and I'd be happy to show, you know, if you want in more depth, how you can filter and find these opportunities for the content that you're producing. So this is just a few ideas, on how we've found ways to differentiate and compete against venture-backed companies. again, it's not always fun, it's not always easy, but if you're willing, if you will persevere, if you'll be strategic, you can find these ways to create value, grow, and actually take customers from these companies that have raised 20, 50, 100, 150 million, or even these big behemoths, the Microsofts, the Amazons, the Google. And when you get those wins, I can tell you they do feel good, and you learn a lot along the way. So I hope you enjoyed this video. Some insights were valuable for you. This has been Tyler Bride. Appreciate it very much. Hope you have a great rest of the day. Bye-bye.